tonight's ringers.
So, Abdul, what reaction has there been to my latest taped message of hatred in the West?
So-so, Saddam. According to our researchers, we're getting very good awareness amongst the D and E category infidels. But I'm afraid we're still struggling to make much impact with the lucrative ABC ones.
Oh, damn it! You know how important it is to me that I have all those tweedy middle-class Western imperialists with high disposable incomes quaking in their boots.
I know, Saddam, but I think we've come up with the perfect solution.
Oh, really?
New from BBC Enterprises, a tape all fans of holy jihads will want to keep and treasure forever.
Now rise up against the infidels. May God roast their stomachs in hell.
Martin Jarvis reads Saddam Hussein's post-war terror messages. Yes, he's one of the most hated and feared figures on the face of the earth. And here he is reading the words of Saddam Hussein for the very first time.
The hissing Western serpents will soon be crushed underfoot and ground mercilessly into the dust.
Buy Martin Jarvis reads Saddam Hussein's post-war terror messages today, or else. As unless you do, the government says he has the capability of recording another cassette of Just William stories within 45 minutes.
Welcome to the Sky at Night. And what a very special edition of the Sky at Night this is, because I have very exciting news. Yes, I can reveal to you this evening that I have made contact with Mars. That's right, the inhabitants of the Red Planet. But how exactly did I manage this, you ask? It was all done using this. This is a device known as a telephone. Yes, that's right. You simply pick up the receiver and dial any of those new 118 numbers. And almost instantly, you'll find yourself speaking to an unintelligent life form living many millions of light years away and who is totally unfamiliar with any location anywhere on planet Earth.
Later tonight here on 5, yet more proof that we're now an upmarket entertainment channel and not just softcore porn peddlers. With the start of a 7-part documentary series on the history of modern British sculpture. Presented by Lindsay Dawn McKenzie and Jodie Marsh. In their pants. But first, it's time for another episode of At Home with the Eubanks. And Chris and Karen have house guests.
One has invited you into my abode today because, according to the critical reaction to the first week's episodes, my attempt at a spontaneous fly-on-the-wall reality sitcom lacks the necessary ingredients that would in effect assure its success to me to transmogrify one into a much-loved figure of amusement for the masses.
Sorry, mate, I can't understand a word you're saying. Even a couple of words in English would really help me out here.
To paraphrase, my reality sitcom stinks. How can I transform it into a runaway success like yours?
Well, for starters, mate, you need to have spent most of the 70s and 80s frying your brain on every hallucinogenic drug you could get your hands on.
Well, I once partook of 2 aspirins and some Beecham's powders. After a strenuous training session, would that perhaps suffice to cement my reputation as a hedonistic hellraiser?
That was bloody pathetic. Listen, so you're going to have to scrap the show and start again. You've got to find someone who lumbers around in a total daze, can't remember anything, and barely even knows who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, what's that you want me to star in? Home with the Brunos, but I can't even work the handle on my door, let alone the video.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. So sexed up, I should be in a government dossier. Coming up in a few minutes, we've a very special edition of Money Box, as someone under 80 actually rings in. But first, we've the Radio 4 appeal.
Hello, I'm Dame Judi Dench. This week, we've all stood by aghast, watching as something inexplicable and terrible happened. Yes, a film about lovable, eccentric British middle-aged women was released, and I wasn't in it. Yes, yes, that's right. They made Calendar Girls without asking me, and as I see it, there can only be one explanation. The producers don't fancy Dame Judy's baps. I ask you, how can they prefer Celia Imrie's half-inflated bouncy castles to my precious pink puppies? And as for Helen Mirren's tired old grow bags, well, looks to me like she could shine her shoes when she walks. Well, I'm not standing for this. And with your help, I'll never be humiliated like this ever again. Give just £5,000, and I'll be able to afford my very own Harley Street boob job. So before you can say Toby Juggs, Dame Judy will be sporting a brand new pair of 36 double D chubbers that'll have Jordan green with envy. Do give generously, so that hopefully by the time the next Bond film comes round, it won't be just Q showing James his way round a brand new pair of rocket launchers. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Astelios, a cut prize king of the Easy Empire. And a cross between Demis Roussos and a Blada Carbuzal, innit? But next week, I will own your house. But next month, I will own your wife. And the people often say to me, Stelios, how you make your stuff cheaper than a bloody night at Stringfellow's with a Cliff Richard? And I say, shut up in your face. But now I'm thinking of was, is, what should I buy up next?
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. This is the easy 6 o'clock news. We couldn't afford any more pips. The headlines tonight, war, cancer, exams, Lulu. If you want to know more, pay the extra, your skinflints. If you want politics, you'll have to upgrade. Listeners on digital, press the red button now to book a return flight to Alicante. Our top story is Raggy Omar, live from Baghdad. But unfortunately, his plane went to Salzburg by mistake.
Easy news. It's a light news, only cheaper. Shut up your face.
People of Britain. Nervous tick, the game's up hand gesture. Billy No Mate's bald spot. In his evidence to the Hutton inquiry, Senior Intelligence Officer Brian Jones accused my government of using unnecessarily strong language describing the threat posed by Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. Naturally, I totally refute these claims. If anyone in my government was inserting overly strong language into dossiers, I would have known about it. It is simply wrong for these to allege my arsehole government has become so used to using unnecessarily strong language that we barely even notice we're doing it all the time.
Good morning, Chi-Chi. Can I help you?
Good morning, where?
Chi-Chi.
Chi-Chi?
Yeah.
Ah, the name of the panda, I remember. This is John Humphreys calling. Good day to you, and you are the hairdressers, are you not?
Yeah.
Chi-Chi, the hairdressers. Very nice. And very distinctive hairdressers, too, by all accounts.
Yeah.
Very good. Stacey, you have 2 minutes on my various inquiries, starting from now. Are you open after 4 o'clock?
No.
Correct. Could you fit me in for a haircut this afternoon?
Yeah.
Correct. How much for a cut and shampoo?
$14.90.
Correct. At the moment my hair is silver, I was thinking of dyeing it burgundy. Do you think this would be any good?
No.
Correct. Should conditioner be left in or rinsed out?
Rinsed out.
It depends on the hair type and brand of conditioner. I can't accept that. Do your hair dryers use diffusers?
Yes.
Correct. Does waxing knacker when it's done?
Yes.
Correct. Do you have any big-bosomed stylists who will push them into my back whilst cutting my hair?
Yes.
That I will accept. What percentage of your customers ask for a distinctive John Humphreys-style haircut like mine?
None.
I'm sorry, I can't accept that. The correct answer is loads of them. What is the name of David Beckham's current hair... Sorry, that was just my doorbell. I've started, so I'll finish. What is the name of David Beckham's current hairstyle?
Class.
It's actually the style of a buffed-up homosexual llama, but we will accept that. At the end of that round, Sophie, you've scored 6 points. Thank you very much indeed.
Hello, I'm Stelios. The love child of Pavarotti and a shish kebab. People in the often say to me, Stelios, how did you build such a vast business? Even though you look like a cocktail waiter from a Blood of Corfu, innit? And I say, you cheeky little minx, shut up your face. It's not easy being cheap. I build a low-cost cinema and they're giving me no films. So I say, I make my own films.
Mr. Bond, I've been expecting you much earlier.
Apologies for the delay, Blofeld. A stag party got rowdy flying over Magaluf.
I'm holding the world to ransom, Mr. Bond. Unless the money is paid, I will blow up New York, Tokyo and Venice Treviso.
Venice Treviso?
It's like Venice, only cheaper.
Are you asking for the usual 100 million?
No. This is easy, Bond. I only want £49.
Do you expect me to pay?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to fly. Subject to availability, terms and conditions apply.
Easy, Bond. It's a light Bond, only cheaper. Shut up your face.
Hello and welcome to Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. Gonna get it on till the early morn. It's all good, girl. Turn me on. More on that story later. Defence Secretary Jeff Hoon continues to come in for heavy criticism for his backpassing evidence to the Hutton inquiry. He joins me now. Mr. Hoon, who was responsible for the overall policy at the MOD once Dr. Kelly had come forward and admitted speaking to journalists?
It wasn't me.
Well, then, who was responsible for his evidence to the Select Committee being given in public?
It wasn't me.
Well, who was responsible for leaking his name to several journalists in...
Wow, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me.
Defence Secretary, I put it to you that you are not, in fact, Jeff Hoon. You are, in fact, gangster rapper Shaggy, who uses the phrase, it wasn't me, as his catchphrase.
Wow, Mr. Bombastic, me pants are fantastic. Jeff Hoon's testimony made of knickery elastic.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. I'm retiring from Radio 4, but I've already got my carriage clock. Yes, I've wired it up to some Semtex and left it under Peter Donaldson's table. The only retirement present Brian wants is his crack pipe and slippers. You see, I'm certainly not planning on wasting a minute of all the extra free time I have on my hands. This week, I vandalised the Harry Potter train. Next week, I'll be calling Andrew Gilligan to give account of his actions before the Perkins inquiry. The only difference between it and the Hutton inquiry is a length of fishing wire, an Uzi submachine gun, and 3 rocket-propelled grenades. Like most people when they retire, I snuck into the stationery cabinet and filled a large bag, Libby Purvis. And now, letter from America.
Good evening. People often write to me asking, Alistair, why in the 500 years I've been presenting Letter from America, have you never developed even the slightest hint of an American accent? The answer to that question is really quite straightforward. It's because I haven't been in America. No, to save money, back in the dark ages, Radio 4 never actually sent me to America. Yes, the entire time I've been presenting this show from a bedsit in Neasden. You should have realized this wasn't a real letter from a British citizen living in America, or else it would have started each week with, I saw this bloke coming out of Starbucks, and I'm sure he was the one who used to be in Baywatch. That's right. I made it all up. Those cozy chats with President Roosevelt. He's really my milkman. Henry Kissinger is really my pet budgerigar. And the legendary slugger Joe DiMaggio is really my home help woman from the council. So, as I was saying to Henry Kissinger just the other day on the thorny question of rebuilding post-war Iraq, who's a pretty boy then? Does Henry want a lovely cracker? Good evening.
Later tonight on Channel 4, there's a brand new show we paid ridiculous money for, which we're launching in a blaze of publicity, which will show for about 3 weeks, then get bored, start moving it all around the schedule so no one knows when they can see it. Then we'll brand it a flop, take it off the air for about 3 months, then grudgingly sneak it back on the schedules at 12:30 to make sure no one sees it. But first, another edition of Location, Location, Location.
Kirsty Allsop, half woman, half Care Bear.
And I'm Phil Spencer, half man. Taking that first step onto the property ladder, especially in central London, can be a perilous one.
Prices for even modest flats here are astronomical, and that's why Phil and I have travelled south of the river to see exactly what sort of a home Cecil has found himself to live in.
My name's not Cecil. Get out of there, leave me alone.
Now, the mistake Cecil seems to have made is that rather than buy a spacious, well-appointed Edwardian house with stripped pine floors, high ceilings and lovely original features, he's instead chosen a cardboard box on the steps of the embankment.
Here are some location, location, location top tips to help you avoid falling into the same pitfalls.
One, never purchase any property that has the words Kellogg's stenciled on the side. Two, spend your money on a good mortgage from a reputable lender, not on special brew, no matter how cheap it is. Three, don't wee in your trousers and pick fights with street signs at 3 a.m. Four, make sure you see a reputable estate agent and not just monsters brought on by the DTs. All simple advice you may think, but these were all mistakes Phil made when he bought his first property. Next week, we travel to a sink estate in Burnley and tell the residents they really screwed up by not buying something far posher down south.
You're back with Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wart. Once again, we're going to speak to Defence Secretary Jeff Hoon. Let's hope this time we'll actually get to speak to the real Jeff Hoon.
What am I doing here? I thought this was a hairdresser's Waldo.
Heaven's sake, you're not Jeff Hoon, you're Mr. Magoo.
No, I'm not. You know, for a fire hydrant, you ask a lot of questions, young man. You sure this is the way to the stationery department?
You are Mr. Magoo, a silly cartoon character who's totally blind to everything going on around him and leaves a trail of chaos in his wake anywhere. Oh, right, yes, I see you are Jeff Hoon, actually.
Hello, I'm Mark Lawson, and welcome to Front Row, TV quick for the middle classes. Following the success of the ITV1 drama Footballers' Wives, there are plans to extend the style of the glitzy soap into other programmes covering football.
Well, Manchester City 3, Newcastle 0. Not really the kind of game we were expecting, Alan. Alan? Alan, you look as though you've been crying. Is there anything wrong?
Aye, Gary. There is. I'm pregnant.
Well, Alan, shock news there. How did it happen?
Well, it's a classic tale. I wasn't ball watching. There was no protection. I was left exposed, and it was a quality finish.
Well, fair enough. Back to the game then. Mark Lawrenson, did 3-0 actually reflect City's dominance?
Football, football. That's all you ever talk about, bloody football. Can't you understand? Alan is going to have a baby.
Okay, Trevor Brooking, how do you see these twin issues of City's excellent attacking display and a pregnant man?
Well, I suppose that I have to say, well, at the end of the day, really, that my old long-lost evil twin brother has been having an affair with Ray Stubbs, who's just come out of a 5-year coma after a car crash.
Right, right. Well, I wonder if perhaps John Motson has some more normal reaction in the tunnel.
Yes, indeed I do, Gary. 3-0. A terrific result for City, spoiled only by the yellow card for Anelka, meaning he'll miss the upcoming Manchester derby. Although, interestingly enough, from a statistics point of view, it's also worth noting that I'm leaving you, you dirty slag.
Good morning. I'll never forget a chilly day in May 1970... when, as protests by students against the Vietnam War reached their height, I turned to Richard Nixon. I turned to Nixon, and I gave him his bowl of pedigree chum. And then I took him for his walk. Unfortunately, whilst in the park, he started dry-humping J. Edgar Hoover. And I was forced to throw a bottle of water over them to separate them. Good evening.
Good morning, Bluestone.
Hello, is that the Builders of Roofers?
We are a building company.
Oh, good, 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 good. Then hooray, I have called the place which is correct that I intended. It is Christopher Livingston Eubank calling, and one wanted to have the roof corrected and also have my electric birdbath made operational. And so I wanted to appoint some of your persons to do this.
Right, OK. You need to speak to Julian Jones.
That doesn't sound like the name of a builder. He should have a name which is more akin to being a builder.
I'll let him know that.
Something like Jack Fadge or something like that. Something proletarian. He cannot be a builder with that sort of title.
People, I'll let him know.
People will expect other things from him. Can you also let them know some other things? There is a TV programme being recorded at my home at the moment.
Yes,
which,
I saw it.
Have you seen? What did you think?
We enjoyed it very much.
You did.
I was around my friend's house and we watched it. And yes, we enjoyed it very much. Anyway, can I ask Mr. Jones to give you a call when he gets in?
Before we go, thank you for your worship.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, would you mark my mathematics song out of 20?
Your mathematics song?
Yes.
Out of 20?
Here it comes. 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4, 4 and 4 is 8, 8 and 8 is 16.
Finished?
Yes. Could you mark that out of 20?
Well, I mean, 20 out of 20 for accuracy. Yeah, it's not very inventive.
You are an ignorant, naive woman.
Really?
Good day.
OK, then.
I'm Mark Lawson, and you're listening to Front Row, which means you've fallen asleep during the Archers. Tonight we ask, are there too many American TV imports? Is Britain doing enough to encourage homegrown talent? Has Mummy darned my plus fours? We put two well-known TV cops head-to-head to examine the differences.
I'm Special Agent Jack Bauer. In the next 24 hours, I will fight off a mad terrorist and my wife will be held up at gunpoint.
And I'm Special Agent Jack Frost. In the next 24 hours, I'll fight off a slight cold and my wife will be held up at Tesco's.
I've got a crack team of agents and my boss was in Vietnam.
I've got a crack team of coppers and my boss was in Z-cars.
It's early. I get up and head for the operations centre.
It's late. I get up and head for the garden centre.
If I don't contact the CIA, society as we know it could break down.
If I don't contact the AA, my Effridge Mondeo will break down.
When I'm not around, terror could strike at any time.
My plots make sense.
You've got me there.
My name is Greg Dyke. And I am Director General of the BBC.
Bring back the clangers? What, after that sexual harassment case? No way. What were they thinking of whistling at Valerie Singleton like that? Now, a lot of you were surprised that in my speech at a television festival in Edinburgh, I called on the government to help save ITV. But I don't see why you were. I mean, we've done everything we can to help them. We've commissioned rubbish like the Murder Game, the Eustace Brothers, and Jim Davison Stands Up. But they still end up being crapper than us. So, we officially give up. Let Blair and his mates have a go at saving him. Oh, yeah, Tom, stop waxing lyrical about Cindy Sherman's postmodern genius. You still haven't cleaned out the fish tank.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. Charles Bronson. Only harder and more alive. The British team attempting to break a world altitude record have admitted defeat after their balloon developed a split. I slashed it. I don't care how badly they needed hot air. No one borrows Melvin Bragg without my permission. And now Helen Mark and Richard Urich present another edition of Open Country.
Hello, and well, hello and welcome to... Oh, hello and welcome to Open Country.
Oh, you join us on the beautiful... Oh, sorry, our producer's always telling us we shouldn't start every show so out of breath. Oh, apparently it sounds unprofessional and really pervy.
But that's one of the joys of... Oh, God. Of this show, all the lovely, fresh air.
Yes, traipsing up and down the British countryside has certainly made both of us extremely fit.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Oh, I feel faint. Let's lie down for a bit. Paper bag.
Oh, God, yes, please.
And Helen Mark and Richard Urich will be back in the Norfolk Broads again next week. You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwell. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain, Lawrence Howarth, John Coleshaw, Colin Birch, Richard Ward, Carl Thing and Tony What's-His-Name. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.